Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica of the New York Daily News and MLB.com. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast, which is the continuation. We put the band back together of our old Sunday morning show. We do it twice a week now on Mondays and Thursdays. And this is the one that feels like the old Sunday morning show because we will look ahead in a few minutes to all of the NFL games. But guys, oh my goodness, the last week of the regular season in baseball is still fraught with a lot of drama, even though we've had some runaway races for the divisions. And to me, the great drama in three different Midwest cities right now, and kudos to the Minnesota Twins, who I think were one of the surprises, and we'll talk about them in a second. Cubs are out of the playoffs. The Cardinals seem to have locked up first place in the Central when they swept four games from the Cubs at Wrigley last weekend. Now they've lost a couple of games. And guys, I guess as good a place to really start as any is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Bob and Mitch, I was on my book tour in Milwaukee right after Christian Yelich got hurt. Okay. And my math might be off, but they felt like a 1,000,000-to-1 shot to still make the playoffs at this point. They have become a locomotive ever since then. And not only do they have a chance to get a wild card, they're only a game in the loss column behind the Cardinals to win the division. This, of all the amazing stories of the baseball season, the one most current is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, you can do a lot in baseball if you win 17 out of 19 games. You can tilt the board quite a bit.
Especially the Mets showed that.
Especially if it happens in September. ESPN has this, and it's a fascinating stat. On September 5th, which is only 3 weeks ago, right? Right. Not even that.
Not even.
3 weeks ago, their odds of winning the division were 0.1%. 0.1%. And now they're a game and a half out of winning the division. That's what happens when you win 17 out of 19. You cannot underestimate what they did because of losing Christian Yelich. Right before they went on this run, you might remember, it started against the Cubs. They had three games against the Cubs. Christian Yelich hit a home run in the first one. I think he hit a RBI double or something to win the second one, and they got a big home run to win the third one, and then they were on their way, and that kind of started the Cubs slide, which is a story in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And then Yelich got hurt in the next series, and they just continued, which is just remarkable that they're doing this without him. I don't know at what point, you know, they look around and realize he's actually not on the roster, and they become something else, but I have to take my hat off for them. I mean, doing 17 out of 19 without Yelich is crazy.
Well, they've had the pitching, and maybe you want to start there, but a terrific
manager, even if he is a Notre Dame man, Ryan.
Yeah, we give credit where it's due, Mike. You know, I mean, when they luck into good things like that, then that's good. But yeah, no. You got to feel good for him, and I'm partial to the city too. I'm happy for him.
Oh, you know, God,
they're like the little brother of Chicago in certain ways, and this is a really good thing, without question. But the idea that they were on the breathing down the neck of the Cards is amazing.
Bob and Mitch, if they somehow pass the Cardinals on the last weekend of the regular season, you know what I'm going to remember? A grand slam ninth inning home run that Ryan Braun hit against the Cardinals about a week and a half ago that seemed like, you know, another good Brewers win at the time. It may end up winning the division. Boy, I'll tell you, you talk about second acts in baseball. Ryan Braun has quietly, he's not going to make anybody forget the way he tried to ruin that drug tester's life, okay? But he has quietly begun to carry this team down the stretch, and he hit another grand slam home run And he's a part of this. And somehow he's not altered the narrative forever on what he did, but he's changed the narrative in the second half of his career.
Yeah, no question about it.
He's resurrected himself to a large degree.
Yeah, and you want to talk about, you know, well, let's stay in the Midwest here, because I want to talk about the Nationals and them playing Philadelphia was interesting, and Bryce Harper and all that, and the fact that the Nationals are going to the playoffs and Philly is where they are, and he made that switch, but the Midwest takes center stage here now. I mean, look at, you've got, we just talked about Milwaukee. You got to take your hat off to Minnesota. I did not, even as late as a month and a half ago, I was saying Cleveland's going to catch them. You know, everybody had Cleveland winning the division, and Minnesota was, you know, going to be another team in the division. What they have done, their home run hitting, this is their first title since 2010. And I don't know, there are a lot of surprises this year, but wouldn't you say that Minnesota winning that division is probably as we're now shaking it out, was the thing that we least saw coming at the beginning of the year?
Well, only one baseball guy I know told me that he was watching what they were doing in the offseason. I talked to Buck Showalter's a friend of mine. I talked to him a lot. And every time they'd make another acquisition, whether it was Scope or Cruz, he said, look out for the Twins. The Twins are going to be really, really good. And he turned out to be right. Now, did he think they were going to hit 300 home runs, which is what they're going to end up doing? He did not. Rocco Baldelli has done a great job with the Twins. I think that, Mitch, I think they're one of the bigger surprises in baseball. I think the way the Yankees have played through all these, 30 guys injured or whatever it's been this year is a surprise. I've got a parting shot today on the Tampa Bay Rays, who have the lowest payroll in the sport, and are going to end up probably winning 98 games this season. And then there's the Twins. And the Twins, another great baseball town, Bob. They'll have their own dragons to slay in the postseason Guess who the dragon is? It's going to be the New York Yankees, who have owned them in October.
If you had told me that they could win the division, then in the beginning, I would have said, okay, it'll be one of those mediocre things. They'll be lucky to get in with an 89 or 90 wins, and it was going. They have, what happens about this for a bar bet? What if someone said, what baseball team on September 6th, would have the most road wins in Major League Baseball?
I know, it's crazy.
I don't think you would have had the Twins as your nominee.
Or who's
guess who has the most road wins in Major League Baseball with 52? No one else has more than 47, and that is the Minnesota Twins.
Or list the teams that are going to have 100 wins when you're done, because it's quite possible that they're going to have 100. Yes. Would you have put Minnesota on that list? You would have marked down L.A., maybe the Yankees, and maybe Houston, and that's it. Yeah. And here the Twins are they're at 98 now. So, you can't. I mean, the Twins, the Brewers. Then there's the Cardinals, who, we've now accepted their presence. But, there was a part in the season where we didn't think that was going to happen either. It's just that St. Louis is...
And, Mitch, they've been out of the playoffs for 3 years. It's
which
a
for
lifetime
them is 30
in St.
Years.
Louis. Yeah. Yes, you bet.
Yep.
You bet.
And then the Cubs collapse is the other big story. They've now lost 8 in a row, and they're kind of key, schedule-wise, for what's going to happen the rest of the way to determine this. And I don't know if they've just simply given up. I mean, it's so fast that this has happened. I mean, you lose a team like that to lose 8 straight in September. What's going on there?
Mitch, I was watching, I was very engaged because, when I looked at the schedule, we talked about this last week, that there were all these games left between the Cubs and the Cardinals, who again played this weekend in St. Louis. Okay. The first game was last Thursday. It was on national television. Jack Flaherty, who's been brilliant in the second half for the Cardinals, pitches great, gives the ball over to his relief pitchers. The Cubs tie it in the bottom of the ninth. It goes from 4-1 to 4-4, and you think, oh, my God, the ground is now shifting underneath the feet of the Cardinals. Matt Carpenter hits a home run in the 10th. They win the game. Then they win on Friday night. Then, Ryan, you know what happened on Saturday at Wrigley Field with your old friend, Mitch. I don't know if you know this. Bob's old friend, Craig Kimbrell, comes in with the lead in the 9th inning. The first two pitches he throws, Mr. Album, are hit out of Wrigley Field. Yeah. And I believe from that moment on, they were in a free fall. Joe Maddon's going to get fired. Everybody I talk to in baseball now says, you mean next year's manager of the San Diego Padres? He's going to get fired. Theo had to make an announcement that he's staying and he's not going back to Fenway Park. Oh, no. 3 years after they ended the 108-year drought, this has become a disaster in Chicago.
No, because it looked like they were set up at that time for a long run. And it is shocking and it's stunning. I still can't believe this happened, that Maddon is in this predicament.
But you agree, he's gone.
I would think so. I can't imagine. I don't see how any way he can survive. Theo's got to be held accountable too for some, you know. But he's got two more years on his contract. The thing with Boston was drummed up by this end of the deal. It wasn't anything that he was, he was forced into a situation where he's got to deny a non-story. You know, he's not coming back to Boston.
And period. Mitch, we've talked about all the other surprises. Okay, here's the non-surprise. And it's a baseball team that reminds me of the Warriors when they were winning all their champions. And that is the Houston Astros, who already are at 104. And Bob, I think you might have been, we talked about this. We're never going to see again what has happened with the Astros. In the same decade, they lost 100 games three times in a row. And now they've won 100 games three times in a row. And I was doing the Mike Lubica podcast with the great Dave O'Brien today, Bob. And I still go back to the catch that Benintendi made at the end of game 4 in the American League Championship Series, because if he does not make that catch, I believe the Astros might be going for 3 World Series in a row right now.
No, very possibly. Yeah, that, no question. And and of course, that Benintendi is.
They are loaded. They are loaded. And oh, by the way, Greinke nearly pitched a perfect game.
Yeah. I was just going to mention that. Zach Greinke.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Who, wasn't even with them before. And now that would have been their third no-hitter of the season. So I don't know how you go against that. I mean, do you see anybody stopping them?
The Yankees, despite the way the Yankees have played over the last week, the Yankees are also going to hit 300 home runs. They've got Luis Severino back. James Paxton has started to pitch the way that they thought he was going to pitch. I think they're going to bring Sabathia out of the bullpen. Tanaka has been a reliable, if not great, pitcher in the postseason. Mitch and Bob, here's and we don't want to spend too long on this because we've got the postseason starting next week. The Yankees in particular and the Twins will be a referendum on whether you can mash your way to the World Series. It hardly ever happens. The last team to lead the majors in home runs during the regular season and win the World Series?
No.
The New York Yankees of 2009. Okay. And we saw what happened to all those bruisers on the Yankees in the playoffs against the Red Sox last year. When they did not hit home runs, and Mitch and Bob, there was no fallback plan for them. And so it's going to be very interesting to see which home run teams might still be standing in the last week of October.
No, historically, I've harped on this for many years, that with very few exceptions, people do not ordinarily slug their way to the World Series.
Just
do not. Yep. And we'll see. It'll be very interesting. I was just thinking about the Astros on the fly. This is the story. The idea that they're doing what they're doing. They are where they are. We're talking about them in the exalted terms that we're talking about them. And this is a year in which they did not have the services of their former MVP second baseman for a long time. And
it was back to playing that way, by the way.
Right. Though. Didn't have their great shortstop. And they've managed to do it, and they do have an MVP candidate, and of course now the debate will be whether or not you should give it back to
Trout. I think so. Just take 1 second on that. I want to ask you guys. Mitch, I'll ask you first, okay? If we're going to continue to call it the most valuable player award and not the best player award, How can you not give it to Alex Bregman on the best team in baseball? Or are you going to give it to Trout, who, by the way, in his kind of passive-aggressive way, is lobbying for himself when he said, hey, I thought I had the best year of my career.
Yeah.
Mitch.
He himself said he's lost to Bregman, and I think it has to be.
I don't think that's true, though. I don't know that the voters. Listen, Jacob deGrom might win another Cy Young Award. It's going to be numbers. Mitch, he's going to win 10 games again, probably. DeGrom. Yeah. And he might win another Cy Young Award.
Oh, he's the favorite, I think. There's no question. American League, the other thing, the great thing in American League, how do you differentiate between Verlander and Cole?
Because I think Verlander, it'll be part Lifetime Achievement Award and part no-hitter. I think that is the only thing that will tip the scales for him.
But this is the debate that goes on in sports all the time. Take the guy off the team and where are they?
I hate that argument.
You know, that's
I hate
one,
it.
That,
Ryan
right,
hates that.
That.
Right. You walked into the right hand here.
Or how integral was the guy's year to a winning program? You know, when you've got a team that makes the playoffs and is doing really well, was his boat lifted by the other boats in the rising water, or was he the reason that the Kirk Gibson route, you know, that we talk about being an MVP with one swing in the World Series back in 1988? And we're not going to settle that argument here because it's been going on for decades. But that's what it always comes down to when you pick. Now, every now and then,
Who would you vote for? Yep,
I like winning. I just think there's too many ways to end up amassing stats on a losing team. And so I would go for Bregman.
What about you, Bobby?
I'd vote for Bregman on the basis of the tiebreaker being, I'm sorry, Mike, you did get hurt. The guy played more games. And then when all the stuff that we're talking about, there's not enough. You didn't separate yourself, in my mind, this year from this guy at all. And so it definitely belongs to Bregman.
Okay, real quick, before we get to the NFL. Okay, Cy Young Award. If DeGrom wins it again, Mitch and Bob, will we put to rest forever that number of wins is still meaningful as a stat in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
and
don't you think that's dead already?
It started last year. I mean, he
started
won with 10.
Felix. It started with Felix
Hernandez that time.
13-12, and that started it. This is the new generation of writers who are weaned on the new metrics.
That's
And wins are not. Everyone seems to recognize something we should have learned 100 years ago, that wins are circumstantial quite often.
That's correct.
Very often they're very, very circumstantial.
Especially now with the incredible use of pitchers and overuse of pitchers that you're going to do a parting shot on, I know, later on. Your fate is so not in your hands when it comes to winning when you're a starting pitcher that it is a far less
and
meaningful
any given
stat
game
than
out
it
of context,
used to
guys. The other day, Eduardo Rodriguez got a win. He went 5 innings. He gave up 7 earned runs. The Red Sox happened to score 12, and he got the win.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean that's just one example of how a win is really essentially meaningless in that game. Right. There shouldn't even be an individual win attached to that, because come on, you get a W if you give up 7 earned runs in 5 innings and you walk off with a W, which he did. I mean, he's having a fine year. That's just he's pitched very well. That was not one of his better days.
But that's a great example: 7 runs and you get a win. So I think this is one of those cases where the new breed of statistics, of which I am not always very fond, but I think it is a fairer barometer of how
Mitch,
somebody
it's just
does.
A given. I mean, granted, I'm reading the New York papers daily, but there's just a given that DeGrom is going to win, and no one,
everybody says
not even
Strasburg
talking about.
Strasburg has a pretty good case to be made on a team that was 12 games under 500. He's good. I know I'm going to use this expression out of the past. He is going to lead the league in wins, and his earned run average is like, I don't know, 0.75 higher than DeGrom. You can make a case for Steven Strasburg.
Okay. All right. Before we get to football, a word from our sponsor, MyBookie.
At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. So do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. MyBookie has all the latest lines in the NFL and college football. You can even continue to bet as the game goes on with in-game live betting. So if you're betting on football, you have to go check out MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you have to try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code THEREPORTERS to activate that offer. That's promo code THEREPORTERS. Use that code and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Visit MyBookie.ag today. Don't forget to use the promo code THEREPORTERS when setting up your account. That's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Guys?
All right, some big stuff in the NFL coming up this weekend, starting tonight. We're doing this on Thursday. And Green Bay, Philadelphia, it is a very important game. More important for Philadelphia to right the ship, obviously, but curious for Green Bay in that they've haven't lost a game, and yet no one seems very convinced of their offensive system. Now they're going to face a very desperate Philadelphia team who just mistaked their way to a loss against the Lions with I got to tell you guys, there was a, I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a report out of Philadelphia, my childhood hometown.
Yes, sir.
There was a report out of Philadelphia the night that the Eagles lost to the Lions with all those drop passes. There was a fire, and I'm not making light of this. There was a fire and there were, people in the building, and someone ran in. And they started, there were children, and they started, you know, literally tossing the kids out the window. They did an interview with a guy, and he was talking to a newscast, and he goes, yeah, you know, we were out there, it was pandemonium, and it was crazy, and they started throwing the kids out, and we were catching the kids, unlike Aguilar. I mean, this was literally only in Philadelphia. This guy was being interviewed about saving children from a fire and talking about catching them. And he had to make the note that they caught the kids, unlike Aguilar, who dropped the passes for
you think of Rodney Dangerfield, don't you? It's a tough crowd. I'll tell you, it's a tough crowd.
I'm telling you. It's like, I said, when I heard that, I said, only in Philadelphia. The guy was dead serious. So that's how much they are bothered by the fact that Philadelphia, you know, stumbled and humbled their way to a loss to the Lions, and now they go to Green Bay. So they're desperate. They can't lose another game, and yet Green Bay's formidable at home.
All right, are we concerned about the Packers offense, or do we just believe that Aaron Rodgers will play himself into the season, that he and his coach will eventually end up on the same page? Because if they are even close to the other offenses we have seen in Rodgers' career, they're good. But guess what? It's a great division right now. It's a great division.
Guess how many teams in the National Football Conference have scored fewer points than the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, I think we're like 27th.
That would be one.
Yeah,
one. The Bears. They have scored. They're averaging 19 points a game. The Packers.
Yeah.
I think there is concern. I think that
if you get a hold
of some of the delving into the deeper statistics on Rodgers, it's pretty evident that there is slippage in his play. And he is not the Rodgers that people still think he is. He still, you know, can be capable of great things, but he's not the consistent Aaron Rodgers. And there is, and what was the two big things coming into this season people were talking about the Green Bay Packers? One, watch, they are going to be much better defensively, and defense is going to be a big thing, a bigger thing in proportion than it generally is with them. How is it going to play out between Rodgers and LaFleur? And I just think yesterday Rodgers was quoted. Well, he wasn't quoted. I saw the clip. You know, he said the offense has to do its job. I think he was calling out the coach. I don't think in any way he's holding himself as a detriment here. I think he's calling out the coach and the offensive system. What do you think?
Well, I don't think his skills have diminished. Oh, my God. Mitch, I don't know if you were watching in the moment or Bob the other day. Is he the greatest free play quarterback in the history of the sport? When he gets them to jump, don't you feel like his percentage for them throwing a long touchdown pass is like 99%? As soon as you saw the flag done, you know he was going deep, and you were not even surprised that he scored on it.
Yeah. No, he's
he has a taste for the jugular, and those moments are built for that. You know, there are quarterbacks who get those free plays, who get so giddy with excitement that they overthrow the receiver, and then there are these guys who go, "Oh, you give me an opening, I'm going for your neck." And he's that guy. But you know, he's gone through a lot of receivers in the last couple of years, and he's got, you know, the crew he's got now are good. Last year's crew was terrible. They only average, you know, less than 300 yards a game. They're like 28th in the league for that. And do I believe that over time, Mike, they will right the ship, because I think he'll take the ship over? Yeah, I do. You know, there's going to be a point at which if they lose a game or two, there'll be a Waterloo moment there, and he's going to win. And he has enough skills still to make his own system, so to speak. But I will say this, Bob, they may have their share of troubles, but you're a lot better off, you know, trying to deal with a rocky boat and having a 3-0 record than Philadelphia at 1-2.
Yeah, oh,
you know, they may have been lucky to win those games.
It was such a big win over, Mitch, the Bears to start the season. To scratch that one out, you know, that was... And you know, it gets interesting. Okay, just after they play the Eagles, okay, then they play at Cowboys, then they come to Detroit to play your still undefeated, once tied, Detroit Lions. We'll talk about them in a minute. Then they get the Raiders, then they go to the Chiefs. Their schedule, there's not many soft places to land in this schedule.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got Carolina, San Francisco, and the Giants and the Redskins 4 in a row. They can win all 4 of those games. But they do play the Cowboys
against
on the
greatest
road.
Quarterback of all time in New Jersey?
Daniel Jones.
They got to go up against Daniel Jones.
They go on the road against the Cowboys, on the road against the Chiefs, on the road against the Chargers, and those are tough. But like I say, when you've got 3 wins banked already and you haven't got your system straight, you built yourself a little bit of a cushion. And surprisingly, you know, a lot of people thought the Vikings, I thought the Bears have had their struggles. Obviously, the Vikings are still trying to figure out if Kirk Cousins can win the big thing. The Lions at 2-0-1 are surprising people, but if they're 3-0-1 when we're talking like this next week, I'll be the most shocked person. They're playing Kansas City, and Kansas City should just eat them up. But before we get to that, Philadelphia, this is critical. 1-3 is going to be very tough for Philadelphia, especially the way Dallas is playing. You know, now you're going to start praying for wild card slots already. And in that division, you can't fall behind.
Oh, I'm declaring that division over.
Really? Right now. Cowboys done already?
This is early returns at Dixfield Notch. It's over. In NFC East, the Cowboys are winning. Period. That's over. Sorry.
All right. We have two interesting games that involve members of our podcast. Okay. I mean, the Giants, Redskins, forget about that. Mitch, clearly the Giants are halfway to the Canyon of Heroes after one game.
It's a beatdown.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with Mr. Ryan's team, the undefeated New England Patriots, going against, and who thought I'd be saying this, Mitch, the undefeated Buffalo Bills, champions of MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
They are. They own it.
And you know what? You guys can laugh at me on Monday. I think this is going to be a good game.
I think it's going to be a better game than people would think for no other reason. Well, two reasons. One, the Bills, they can defend, I know, very well. And secondly, the Patriots are banged up. They're definitely banged up offensively. They have lost James Devlin. People say, well, what's that? Listen, that guy was gave them a chance to play the game differently than most people play it in 2019. He was a fullback, an old-fashioned fullback. He was the lead blocker for Sony Michel, who has last week, absent Devlin, gained 11 yards and 9 carries. He catches the pass out of the box. He scored 4 touchdowns. Very important player and not replaceable. It's not like you say next man up. There is no next man up for him. There is a rookie named Johnson, we'll see, but there is no real, they'll miss him. And then Edelman sustained a rib or sternum injury last week. We have no idea what his status is. They're struggling in their offensive line to keep people healthy. So they're not exactly, that's offensively, but defensively, that's the other thing. When and where will they give up a touchdown? They have yet to give up a defensive touchdown.
Okay, I'm going to put this in perspective. Between them, they've played 6 games. they haven't played a team with a winning record, either one of them. Several of the teams that they played are 0-3. I don't know how you make any judgments on any of them, you know, until you see them actually play. I don't believe anything that Buffalo has amassed so far because they've done it against Cincinnati, the Giants, and the Jets. And I certainly don't believe that the Patriots are going to continue averaging 35 points a game and giving up five. Okay, they played Pittsburgh when obviously Pittsburgh was shocked in becoming the lousy team that they now are, and they played Miami and the Jets, which is playing double A ball. So I don't know what to make of this. To be honest with you, this is to me this is both teams' first game. That actually is against somewhat
kind
of quality
fun,
opponent.
It's kind of fun, don't you think?
It is,
so?
But I could see New England just plowing through it. And what happened to Buffalo? What happened to Buffalo was they got 3-0 against three lousy teams. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, is Buffalo passing your eye test or your record test? When you watch them play, are you saying, wow, this is a great team? Or are you just saying, well, they're 3-0?
Okay, I've watched them a fair amount. I think they've got somebody at quarterback in Josh Allen. Let me start that. And even though the Jets are not very good, they still have their starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, before he got mono. They did come from 16-0 down on the road and on a day when the Jets were playing well. I'm not talking about what the Jets have become since without Darnold. I'm just saying that it ain't nothing what they did that day. And then they played very well against the Giants, except the Giants didn't have Mitch, obviously the greatest quarterback of all time, in Daniel Jones.
Yes.
So this is a great litmus. No, I just think it's a very interesting game. And Mitch, guess what? I think the game in Detroit with the Chiefs coming to town are you just dismissing that they might have any chance against the Mahomes?
Before we leave the Patriots, Mitch, I just want to alert you to your point is extremely well taken, but they may not be tested until, believe it or not, week 9.
I know.
Because here's their schedule leading up to a game with the Ravens on November 3rd, after they probably beat the Bills this week. Home with the Giants, at Jets, and home with the Browns.
Jeez.
They're going to be 8-0.
No wonder everybody hates New England. Okay. What a schedule. You know, this is the Super Bowl winning team's schedule. This is what they draw, you know, when you're supposed to get punished.
Those days are gone. It used to be a given, but I don't know I don't know where we changed that. We have. Obviously, that's not the case anymore, but it was once the case.
Well, the first part of it is you play your own division.
Right.
So
well,
and the second part is you play as a division, you play another division that everybody has to play. And apparently, you know, they drew, I guess, the AFC, where they drew the AFC Central. I'm looking at this. Because they got Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Baltimore. So that's, they got Kansas City in there. But so, look, the Patriots are going to the playoffs already. We know that. I don't think you can necessarily say the same for Buffalo. As for Michael, Detroit and Kansas City. Okay, nothing would please me more than to see the Detroit Lions beat the Kansas City Chiefs, if only to just inject a little juice into my hometown here, where sports has become, you know, just a place to bury your head between the Tigers, the Red Wings, and the Pistons. And so they're 2-0-1. They shouldn't have been the one. That never should have happened. They should have won that game. And the two games that they did win, the other teams messed up. And they escaped with an interception against the Chargers in the end zone on a day that the guy who made the interception was having one of the worst days of his career and was getting beat regularly. And then he just jumps in front, makes an interception, saves the game. And against Philadelphia made so many. They had two touchdowns called back on a single drive. And the Lions ended up winning that game. Now, you could say, well, that's what you have to do. But against a team like Kansas City, I've actually heard people say, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played indoors yet in his career. Okay, that only means that you haven't seen the best of him yet. Because a guy who does what he does, running around and accuracy, doesn't have to worry about any of the elements in Ford Field. I just see this as a almost a runaway. I just think Kansas
City. Are the Lions better? Have you not seen enough? Are they better than you thought they would be? And is
their
it
offense.
Possible that Matt Patricia might be a better coach than you thought he was going to be?
Matt Patricia will, you know, this is going to be his make or break year. The guys like him. They seem to listen to him. He certainly is more affable when he's got a winning record, because last year the wagons were being circled. They do have a new offensive coordinator who was the same guy who called the famous play in the Super Bowl between Seattle and Patriots. We all know that. And, you know, they've been actually okay on offense. They've been mixing up their runs. They've got tight ends now. All of a sudden, they've got a plethora of tight ends. And, you know, when the Eric Ebron years, they had one tight end who kept dropping the ball. They're better offensively. They don't put any pressure on the quarterback. They spent all this money. And you're going to have to tell me, Bob, what did Trey Flowers do to warrant this kind of a paycheck?
He had a
because
terrific
he's done
year.
Nothing he was, here. He, nothing he, here.
Yeah, he had a terrific year.
Yeah, it must have been a contract year. I mean,
he was.
Nothing. He's nothing. I mean, everyone, because where's this guy? Why'd they give him all that money? So they don't put any pressure on a quarterback. And you do that with Patrick Mahomes. No pressure. Forget it, you know. And their secondary is banged up. Darius Slay may not play. So, no, Mike. I mean, like I said, it helps if you're a team that's trying to figure things out. It helps to have a winning record as a cushion, and it helps that they're 2-0-1. So if they lose this game, they're still, you know, they still got a winning record. But
and ought to be 3-0. I mean, they ought to be 3-0. Mitch. All right, let's talk about the Sunday night game. I think this is a pretty interesting game. Dallas at. By the way, before we get to the Sunday night game, isn't it interesting how bad the games are on Monday Night Football? Did you see what the Monday Night Football game is this week? The 0-3 Bengals against the 0-3 Steelers. Sunday night is appointment viewing, and Monday Night Football, it never is. But anyway, Sunday night. Okay.
Even Thursday night is better than Monday.
Way better. Okay. Dallas at New Orleans. Cowboys trying to get to 4-0. And the Saints with Teddy Bridgewater, and I saw where Breeze is saying he's going to defy the 6-week expectations for his return in the Superdome. This one might be kind of fun.
Oh yeah.
Do you think he's saying that, Michael, because he's concerned about his job?
You mean the aging actor worried about the ingenue? It's like all about Eve.
I don't think he has a lot to worry about with Teddy Bridgewater on the long run. But this is a really interesting game because New Orleans needs to keep a pace until he does get back. And Dallas, you know, we've been waiting for a long time with Dallas, and you know, Jerry Jones hypes them up every year so much that you always think they're going to be something bigger than they are. But this seems to be. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, how fast has everybody forgotten his holdout? You know,
right.
It's just, you know, like, what holdout? Running backs can do that. I don't know how they do it, but running backs can just do that, or certain running backs anyhow, and they just come in. We'll see if Melvin Gordon does it, because they're saying they don't want to, you know, he wants to come back now to the Chargers, and they're saying, well, we're not going to play him even if he does. But if Ezekiel Elliott is any measure, Gordon could sign on Sunday morning and apparently play. And Dak Prescott is he's got 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's almost at 1,000 yards for the season. He is becoming everything that they expected him to be. And they have a defense. So, I like the Cowboys this year, but this is the game's in New Orleans, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the Dome.
Yeah, the Dome. Yeah.
Tough place to win.
Maybe the toughest place of all to win, as we know. I'm just on board with the Cowboys this year. If nothing totally unforeseen happens to Prescott particularly, but they do have the defense and you know, interesting to Witten coming back and I just like them. And I look at the NFC. I just don't see anybody better in the NFC right now.
Would a rousing performance by the Saints at admittedly at home change your views on that?
Yeah,
if they both come out of this game 3-1, you know Breeze will be back at some point. His quote was pretty innocuous. He said they're saying 6-8, and I'm going to take it a weekend. Blah, 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 blah. But if they both come out of this game 3-1, okay, would you change your opinion about
About New Orleans, yeah. Right now, I'm with
that giant chip on their shoulder that they are playing with this year.
Yeah, sure. I'm counting on Cowboys to win that game. And
all right, let me give you.
We'll talk
Mitch,
Monday.
Let me give you the next part of the Saints schedule after Sunday night. Okay, they play the Bucs at home. They go on the road to play the Jaguars. They play at Chicago. They play the Cardinals at home, and they play the Falcons at home. Mitch, if they could ever win this game, they actually could be on some kind of roll when Breeze does come back.
Yeah. Well, the Chicago game's going to be tough up there to play, but the other ones are winnable games. Let's see. Teddy Bridgewater is a week-by-week thing to me. You know, he had a solid game last week, okay, but you know, over time, quarterbacks reveal themselves, and he isn't Drew Brees. And they're going to have to do everything. They're going to have to win those games to set it up for when Brees comes back. I mean, if you take a quick look at as we're entering, you know, the first quarter mark of the season after Sunday, Dallas is 3-0, Green Bay is 3-0, New Orleans is 2-1, the LA Rams are 3-0. It's kind of where you expected it to be. You know, these are all the favorites who have jumped out. You know, nobody is shocking. There's on the NFC side, there's no Buffalo. There's no shocking, except maybe the 49ers.
I was going to say, where would you put the 49ers?
Intriguing.
They're intriguing. You know, they were a derailed train last year because of what happened with Garoppolo. And everybody, you forget, people were expecting the 49ers would be okay. Now, they played the Buccaneers, the Bengals, and the Steelers. And so, you know, again, quality of opponent. Let's see. Now they're playing Cleveland October. I guess they're off, and then they play them on the 7th. But, you know, they're a bit of a surprise. Yes, their record is a bit of a surprise. I don't know that it'll hold up. You're not going to get to play Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh every week. But my point is the chalk is holding in the NFC.
Yeah, and
everybody's, you know, New Orleans is going to have to keep up with that. That's my point. And
yeah.
We'll see if Teddy Bridgewater can do it.
It's a bigger game for them than it is for the Cowboys. All right, quickly on college football. I think we're assuming that Wisconsin's going to keep rolling against Northwestern. Oklahoma's going to keep rolling. Alabama has Ole Miss. Virginia, Notre Dame might be an interesting game. But Mitch, your boys in Ann Arbor have become the story in college football for all the wrong reasons.
Yep. It's sad, really, you know.
After one bad loss, by the way.
Well, it was one bad loss and two bad wins, Mike.
I watched the Army game, Mitch. You're right. I watched the game. They should have lost on a field goal.
A field goal away from losing to Army. And they play Rutgers this weekend at home. And heaven forbid that that game isn't a blowout in Michigan's favor. If they have to, you know, put on a fourth quarter rally to beat Rutgers, I don't know what else can be done. Jim Harbaugh looks, and I like Jim Harbaugh. I've known him since he was Jimmy Harbaugh. You know, he was the quarterback when I first got my job at Michigan all those years ago. So we kind of grew up together. Having said that, he looks befuddled. He took responsibility for all of it. He says, we were awful. We were terrible. It's unacceptable. It's my fault. You know, it starts with me, blah, 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 blah. When you look at, I heard Chris Spielman make a comment, and Chris, you know, lived here and played here for the Lions for many years, and obviously he's an Ohio State guy. So he watches the two programs very carefully. And he said on his podcast this week, the talent difference between Ohio State and Michigan is massive.
Yeah.
Massive. And how did it get that way? I mean, they used to have, you know, equally talented players do equal recruiting classes, and then, you know, they in 10 games, one would win five and one would win five. And it's just become so dominant. And now Michigan, in addition to that, changed their offense completely with a quarterback, Shea Patterson, who's a nice quarterback. But, you know, like Shea Patterson seems more like an Indiana quarterback, you know, and not a level if you're going to try to compete for the national championship. You don't put Shea Patterson in a Jalen Hurts category or a Tua category or even a Justin Fields category, who's playing now as a transfer at Ohio State. And yet he is the guy that Jim Harbaugh is counting on to you know, lead his team to some kind of greatness. And you just wonder why the talent level isn't there, why the second guessing of his coaching approach and a whole new offense. And they're in a world of trouble. They committed a lot of money to Jim Harbaugh, and he's still got many, many, many fans at Michigan who believe in him, but there's a rift that's happening because they don't like to be, you know, second best or third best, and they've been that now for a while.
Can he we'll leave it here, but I'm going to direct this to Mitch. Okay. Yep. If they do improbably get on a roll between now and Ohio State, and I always ask you this, where's the game this year?
It's here in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Can he change the narrative over the next, you know, 2 months?
Well, here's how he changes the narrative. All right. First of all, they got to start whipping up on teams that they're, you know, supposed to, like a Rutgers. They play number 14 Iowa at home the very next week. That would be a big win, you know, just to beat a ranked opponent. Then they've got Illinois. Then they've got Penn State on the road. Going to need to do that. And they come back with Notre Dame at home. Win those games, Michael, and then win your arch rival game against Michigan State. And yeah, you know, everybody will be right back on the bandwagon saying, you know, Harbaugh, what an amazing captain. He rewrited the ship until they play Ohio State. And currently, and again, we're a long way from November 30th. But currently, if Ohio State played Michigan, it would be a worse beatdown than what happened last year when they played each other. Yeah. So, and you saw how quickly that changed. Everybody went, okay, Michigan's finally going to take them on. And it was a blowout. And then everybody, you know, piled on again. So, yes, can he salvage the season until November 30th? He's going to have to beat Penn State and Notre Dame and Michigan State and Iowa. and good luck doing that with the team that he's got right now.
All right. It is time for our parting shots, and we will generously allow Mr. Ryan to lead off.
Now, parting shots.
You know, guys, September Major League Baseball is unlike any other month of Major League Baseball. And friends, that ain't good. No siree, that ain't good at all. The expanded 40-man rosters mean managers can load up with pitchers, and you know what's coming. Last Tuesday, we had two perfect examples of how September baseball, to quote the great Fielding Mellish in Woody Allen's classic Bananas, yes, September baseball is, and I quote, a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham. It's not that the Cards and Diamondbacks went 19 innings or the Giants and Rockies went 16. That happens. No problem. But the Cards and D-backs went through 24 pitchers combined. The Giants and Rockies went them one better. Yep, 24 and 25 pitchers. Yes, that's a record. Whoopee! The rules are going to change next year. Thank God. We don't need any more travesties of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham. Thank you very much.
I wrote a column for MLB.com this morning about the Tampa Bay Rays, who still might not make the playoffs and yet are one of the best stories in baseball this season, whether they do make it or not. If the Rays win out against the Blue Jays, they will end up two victories short of 100. They are dead last in payroll in Major League Baseball. They spent $63 million on players this year. They are second to last in attendance behind, oh yes, the other Florida team, the Miami Marlins. The Rays had less than 9,000 fans in attendance on Monday night against the Red Sox in a game the team needed. At least they had around 20,000 on Wednesday night when Charlie Morton and four relievers one hit the Yankees. I don't know where the Rays are going to end up. I don't know if they go to Montreal or Vegas or stay where they are. But Vegas sets up a pretty good analogy about them. The Rays are a big room act playing in a lounge at the Trop. They spent $166 million less than the Red Sox on players this season. Sox aren't in the playoffs. They spent $155 million less than the Cubbies, who are about to get an old Rays manager named Joe Maddon fired. The Rays spent $155 million less than the Yankees and are just seven games behind them in the standings. So if you're a city that wants Major League Baseball and doesn't have it, take the Rays, please.
When they say you're in the catbird seat, it couldn't have been more fitting than Urban Meyer's perch as a TV commentator watching Michigan stumble in the mud to highly ranked Wisconsin last week. You almost had to wipe the preen off of his face. And this week, when someone asked him if he might take over coaching the Wolverines, should Jim Harbaugh be canned, he got to preen once again and say, that's not going to happen. But gloating never suits a TV analyst. And that's what Meyer supposedly is this year. Which brings me to a question. If he's paid by Fox to be a supposedly objective analyst, how is it that he's still an Ohio State assistant athletic director as well as a teacher? Am I the only one who whiffs a potential conflict of interest there? It's one thing to be loyal to your alma mater as an analyst. You see it in college ball all the time. And even the pros like Terry Bradshaw's love for the Steelers or Michael Irvin's passion for the Cowboys. But those guys aren't still actively employed by those programs. How a guy whose title is still Ohio State Assistant Athletic Director is making comments on Big Ten games when his employer school is going to face those same teams seems at best a stretch and at worst an invitation for bias. Urban Meyer was a great coach, and it's likely he'll be a great coach once again for somebody. When that happens, will he want to keep his TV job with a whistle around his neck? That's going to do it for today's Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday, so we'll be back after the weekend to wrap up all the NFL and the college games and where we are in baseball. So it's an exciting time to do this. If you like what you heard, leave a comment. If you didn't like what you heard, leave a comment. We're good with both of them. You can hear this podcast on any place.
Give us that 5-star rating that we absolutely merited today. Wouldn't you agree, Mitch?
Think of us as an Uber. Yes. Give us a high rating. You can catch this podcast on Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, all the places you get popular podcasts. And until we see you on Monday, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying have a great weekend.